It's interesting that Eileen also had a very similar visual aid, which I'm going to show you in a minute. And the observant of you may notice around the room there's a few interesting visual aids as well, which we will come on to later. And I've come on a bit earlier because I really want to allow us to have time to just kind of absorb and interact some of the things that I wanted to share this morning. So Jesus, we just pray and invite you to come and breathe through everything. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know about you, but I really love stories of overcoming. I love stories of people that push on through and persevere. And in our instant society, that's quite a challenge these days, isn't it? People that push through and keep going and keep going. I mean, who'd want to be a football manager in these days? You're not given a very long shelf life, are you? And I was reading last week about Walt Disney, a household name that we all know. And yet, if you look back in his kind of life and progression, you see a really long story before he eventually made any success. Just a couple of snippets. He was fired from his first job with a newspaper because his manager said he lacked creativity. He started his own animation company. That went out of business. He had a cartoon that he designed, but Universal Studios beat him to the patent of it and cheated him out of loads of money. But he still persevered. He began with Pinocchio, but that got shut down during production. People didn't have the faith to keep that going. He was told the story of the three little pigs needed more characters. And also that the character Mickey Mouse would terrify women. The voice is a bit sinister though, isn't it? The story that I really enjoyed was to do with Mary Poppins. He wanted to make the film of Mary Poppins, and the author of Mary Poppins, Pamela Travers, she refused when he went to see her. He flew over to England to say, can I make a film out of your story? And she said no. And every year for 16 years, he went to visit her to say, can I make a film out of your story? And finally, probably to stop him from coming, she said yes. And what a wonderful film we all know and love. A touch of the persistent widow there, I think. And that keeping going, that persevering, that moving on is so key and important for us. But do you know, we can get frustrated, can't we? And last year, Arnold gave a word which I found really frustrating, the kind of character that I am. And I think Ben and Craig have both mentioned this. Arnold said that we were a church that had potential. And you know, that's a great thing, isn't it? Isn't that a really great, encouraging thing? But for me, I was just frustrated. Because I want to be in everything that God has for us. And I know I said to Craig and to Ben, I don't want to get to glory and be told I had potential. I don't want that. I don't want that. I want to be living fully in everything that God has for me, for us. I want to be living in that. I don't want to be almost there. I don't want to be giving up along the way. And one of the challenges I feel is that we get weary. We just can get weary. And last year when I was praying, God gave me a picture that looked a bit like this. It was a picture of a very wilting flower. And I kind of looked at it and thought, yeah, I have days where that's me. I can really, really identify with this. But you know when God speaks to you and you know he's really on it? And I was saying, so God, what do we do about this? And, you know, instantly, immediately you think, well, okay, if I'm given flowers, I want to put them in water. And I probably cut the stems first and give them a bit of flower food. And I knew that the Lord was really speaking to me. So I went on to Google, the answer to everything, and began to have a look at what you do, how you care for flowers. And it was amazing, some of the things that I saw that really spoke to me about our own growth and our own spiritual lives. So that's what I want to share out of this morning. So I kind of figured that if Jesus can start a sermon with consider the lilies, then I can start one with consider the rather drooping gerbera. if that's all right for you today. So consider the lilies, consider the lilies. I love this quote. I've used it before, I know, several times. Marianne Williamson, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to manifest the glory of God that is within us. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We were born to manifest the glory of God that is within us. But sometimes we get weary, we get a bit wilting. So how do we press on into everything that God has for us? Well, the most obvious thing is to put a flower into water. And there's an obvious parallel with the Holy Spirit here. And last Sunday, Rihanna, I don't know if she's here, I can't see her at the moment, is she here? Rihanna brought a prophetic word, and she talked about the fact that what we had was living water within us. Do people remember that, those that were here last week? And that people would come to us for that living water. This is Jesus talking. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Rivers of living water. That's the expectation, not a stream, not a trickle, but rivers of living water. And how much does this world need living water? Needs that refreshing. And it's so key for us in our own lives, isn't it? That what we're tasting, experiencing, what we're pressing into, what we're asking God for is fresh living water. You know, every week when we come to worship practice, or maybe we come on a Sunday morning, the first thing we do, Rich or I, as we arrive, will fill up a jug of water. That's what we always do. And certainly on a Sunday morning when you come, you know, we're here 9:30, so we've been singing a good hour or so before people arrive, you know, and especially if the blowers on, your voices get dry. Now, I can't imagine if I turned up on a Sunday morning, and as you can see, there's a jug here, faithful hospitality team, do that. If I were to say to Rich, it's all right, because last week's water's still here. Do you think he'd say, yes, we'll drink that? He's not sure. Would you have it if it had been left out a week?
No.
No. And I kind of asked the question, fresh living water, Is that what I've got in my life? Do you know, flowers, they recommend you change every 1 to 2 days. You put fresh water in every 1 to 2 days. And if I'm honest, yeah, kind of give it a week. And when it's starting to look a bit cloudy, that's when you think, oh, better change that. It's starting to smell a bit funny now. I better change that. You know, we can't be bothered some of the time. And I kind of feel like, what a challenge for us. Where are we going for fresh living water? Is that what's in our lives? We're told to be filled with the Spirit in a continual sense. That verse in Ephesians is go on being filled with the Spirit, not just a one-off. But it can be a challenge, can't it, to not let things go stale and to put up with what's stale. In Isaiah, we read this amazing passage. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread? Your labor on what does not satisfy. Listen to me and eat what is good. And you will delight in the richest of fare. The richest of fare. What God has for us is the richest of fare. How exciting is that? The richest of fare. Last year, I was, towards the end of last year, I was with my friends who live in Derby, and Owen, who's 13, it was his 13th birthday, and we were going out for a meal to celebrate. And we went to a restaurant called Cosmos. Has anyone ever been to a Cosmos? I don't know if they have them in Birmingham. It's similar to a kind of Jimmy Spices. You've got food from all around the world. And this place is absolutely huge. And I love my food, so I was quite excited. And you walk in and there's Indian, Italian, Mexican, Thai, American, you name it, it's there. Every possible food that you can think of was in this place. It was amazing. And at the time, I remember thinking, this is a really interesting choice for Owen because he's such a finicky eater. And I thought, we're coming here. This is interesting. So we sat down at the table and they came and took the drinks order. And I said to the kids, the three kids, I said, how about while we're here, we all try something new? We all have something we've not had before. Now, I looked at their faces and I could see they weren't really with it, with my desire for them to experiment culinary. So anyway, so off we went. So we all get given our plates and we're all going off in different directions. And I'm going, oh, that looks nice. Let's have a bit of this. And I'm going to all these different places, filling up with all these different diverse foods. I come back to the table and Owen is already back. And I kid you not, despite the vast array of exotic foods around the place, what did he have on his plate? A bread roll and some chips. That was it. That was it, a bread roll and some chips. Granted, he did progress to pizza later on, but that was it. All this huge, huge variety, and it was a bread roll and some chips. I slightly despaired. Do you know God has the richest of fare for us? God has the richest of fare. Our relationship with God should be rich and color and flavor, but are we sometimes settling for a bread roll and a few chips? That's my challenge to us this morning. Are we pressing in to everything that God has for us? Or are we maybe just getting by with the staples? Yes, says Sally. Amen, amen. You know, the world needs our living water. When Yinka and Gareth came at the end of last year, they talked about the fact that we're a well. And, you know, we've had that word before, haven't we? And this community needs the living water of Jesus, and that's displayed in each and every one of us. So this morning, I really want to encourage us. Are our souls delighting in the richest of fare? Are we going in for everything that God has for us? Are we allowing our spirits to just really be constantly, daily refreshed in Him? Because there's much joy. There's much, much joy within that. Okay, so moving on. So water. The next thing I read was to do with cutting flowers, and I thought this was really interesting. When flowers are cut, accessing water from root system ends immediately. Air may be drawn into the stem, creating a pocket of air or an embolism. This blockage can prevent water absorption. Do you know there can be blockages in us that stop this flow of living water? And Eileen mentioned that this morning, and the Freedom in Christ New Course Disciple is a great way to help us understand and deal with these things, because there can be blockages within us that stop that flow. And maybe, as I've been sharing this morning, you thought, I don't know if my life is that abundant flow of living water. I don't know if my experience of God is that constant refreshing. If you're thinking, I'm not sure if that's me this morning, then, you know, maybe there's a blockage. Maybe there's something in the way that's preventing that heavenly flow of living water within us. And I think for me, from what I have seen and understand, there's two main things which cause blockages in our lives. The first is unforgiveness, and the second is fear. Those are the key main things that I see and have experienced myself that stop the flow of God's Spirit. Because if we are carrying unforgiveness in our lives, then we cannot be used to our full extent by God. It's a blockage. It's the plank in our eye. And, you know, Scripture's really clear that if we're coming to offer our gift and we know someone has a grievance against us or us against them, we lay it down and we go and deal with it. If there's unforgiveness, we can't flow and receive everything God has for us. It's a blockage. It's in the way. And that's something that needs to be cleared. And I think the other thing is fear. And fear can manifest itself in so many different ways. I read once, I think it was Bill Johnson, he said, really, there's only two emotions. There's love and fear. and everything stems out of those. I thought that's an interesting thing to say. But fear can be a great thing from holding us back from receiving all that God has for us. And that can come in a variety of different ways. In the parable of the talents, the fearful one who just receives the one is the one, if you remember, he hides it. He hides it in the ground. He buries it. And what we see here is a misunderstanding of the character of God, because he's afraid of him. You know, we've sung this morning, you're a good, good father. But you know, we have to believe that to step out. If we don't believe that God is good, truly, truly good, then that can hold us back from embracing everything he has for us and pushing on in moving on. But he's a good father. He's a good father. And fear can manifest itself, fear of God, in an unhealthy way. Obviously, we're to honor and revere and respect him. That is a healthy fear of God. But not frightened of him in case he will punish us for stepping out and trying something. That's not who he is. We can be afraid of intimacy. We can be afraid of drawing close to God. Maybe we've had relationships that have hurt us or gone sour. And that has allowed fear in us, which means that we don't want anybody to get close to us, even God. There can be a fear of drawing close to him. Equally, they can be a fear of being out of control. You know, when the Holy Spirit's at work, sometimes some unusual things can happen. And we shouldn't be fearful if it's of him. And we shouldn't let fear of that stop us from entering in and receiving what he had for us. You know, we've sung so much this year about surrender and giving it all, and yet we can be fearful to the point of, I don't want anybody praying for me, thank you. I don't want to do anything strange. I remember being at a prayer line once. I was a very, very new Christian, and I was at the end of a line of prayer, and the guy came along, and it really was just like dominoes. Every single person coming nearer to me was boom, 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 down, down, down. I think it was David Carr, put his hands on. He's praying, 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 praying. And I was really new Christian. It was all a bit strange to me at that point. And as he's getting nearer and nearer and nearer, I'm getting more and more scared. No, 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 no. And I'm like rigid to the spot. I am rigid. I am not going down. Nothing's happening to me. So seriously, there's a whole line of people. All of them, God had impacted and down on the floor, and I'm there. Not going anywhere, not going anywhere. And it was fear. I was just afraid. I was just afraid. And it doesn't mean that God doesn't touch you if that doesn't happen. But fear can get in the way of us receiving from God. Sometimes we don't want to look stupid. David said, I'll become even more undignified than this. He was prepared to lay his dignity down. And with our British reserve, that's a challenge, isn't it? We like to be all proper. We don't like it a bit wild. Bit of a challenge. Well, some of us, obviously. But let's not let those things get in the way. Our pride, our dignity. Let's not be fearful of those things. Do you know, if you're cutting flowers, the best way to cut them to stop these blockages of air coming in, so I read, was to cut them underwater. And so I guess if you're dealing with things in his presence, cutting them underwater, that's the way to do it, isn't it? That's the way to do it. While we're on cutting, I just wanted to mention something on pruning. Obviously, that's not to do with cut flowers, that's things in the garden. And I am not a gardener by any stretch of the imagination. I am not blessed with that ability, nor do I particularly practice it, I must confess. I need to be better. I remember going to a garden centre with my grandma once, who wanted to buy me a plant, and she said to the assistant, do you have anything that thrives on neglect? So that's testimony to my gardening skills. But I have ruined things by not pruning them. I've kind of had to learn the hard way that things need to be pruned. But the thing I felt I just wanted to say this morning, and there's an opportunity to respond to this, is the purpose of pruning is to bear more fruit. The reason why you cut things back is that you want them to grow more and be more fruitful. And I think it's a really good thing to think about, what is the fruit that we're looking for in our own lives, in the ministries that we're involved in? What is that fruit? If we're running something where our aim is to have lots of non-Christians come, but there aren't lots of non-Christians coming, you know, it's good to think, is this the fruit that we should be bearing? It's good to think about that, isn't it? Do we need to change something? Do we need to cut something? It's good to know what fruit it is you're looking for. We've had these discussions, Ben and I. Is this fruitful? Well, what do we mean by fruitful? What fruit are we looking for? It's good to ask ourselves that. And I guess within our own lives, the things that we invest in, the things that we do, is it bearing fruit? What are we looking for? What are we asking God for? It's good to ask. We're encouraged to ask. We can ask God for fruit. But I think we need to recognize the fruit when we see it. Do we want fruit or flowers? It's good to know. It's good to know. We're called to bear fruit. Okay, so moving on in my journey of flowers, I read this. Hardening flowers under hot water can maximize the ability to absorb water. Isn't it interesting how God so speaks to us in his creation, doesn't he? We can learn so much. And how many of us know that being in hot water are really those times when our faith can grow, aren't they? Those are the times where we learn, when we are experiencing God refining us and testing us. Those are the challenging times. And I must thank Eva. Eva records things on YouTube, and you did a great podcast on trials that I listened to recently and picked up on some fantastic scriptures, including this one. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. God has a purpose in these times. And more than that, you know, just looking at a flower, if that allows it to absorb more water through hot water, how interesting. When God tests us, when God purifies us, when God refines us, he can truly use us. Oh, hang on, sorry. Scripture from 1 Peter, talking about our faith. And you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. He has a purpose, doesn't he, in times of testing and times of challenge. And I know we've all been through those and will do again. But praise him. It's about glory to him and glory for his name, because he's coming back for a pure, spotless bride, isn't he? So let's not run away from these times, but embrace them and allow him to use us through them. Okay, how am I doing? I learned this as well. Flowers can also be preserved by leaving them in the fridge. Make sure there are no apples there, as they emit an ethylene gas that shortens ethylene gas that shortens the life of flowers. Avoid the apple. Where have we heard that before? Avoid the apple. It speaks to us of sin, obviously, and the things that can negatively affect our lives. I thought, wow, that's really interesting. And, you know, Jesus didn't pray for us to be taken out of the world. And I think Ben shared on this recently, you know, we can't have nothing to do with people who aren't Christians, because they need us. We need to be that positive light influence. But actually, if you think about putting flowers in the fridge, they're in a confined kind of confined proximity. They're in close relationship with. And I think it's those close relationships, be it with people, situations, those are the things that it's good to think, is this harming me? Is this good for me? What I'm watching, what I'm eating, the time that I'm spending, who I hang around with sometimes, is it good for me? Or is it actually influencing me in a way that isn't? It's good to think about that. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've never smelt that gas coming off an apple. But that's apparently what happens, and it can shorten the life of flowers. Wow, how amazing. And for us, we need to be mindful and watchful of the things that we're hanging around, how they influence us. Are they helpful or not? Maybe there are some things that we need to move away from. So the final thing in my little study on flowers is about giving flowers food. And essentially, food, flower food, has got two main elements. It's got a bleach that kills bacteria, and it's got a sugar to give energy. And this morning we're going to take communion, and we've started a bit early because I want to finish to give us time to respond to each of the different things this morning. I know I've covered a lot quite quickly, but I'm going to explain different ways in which we can respond to some of the things I've said. But one thing I really would like all of us to do this morning is to take communion. This amazing verse from Hebrews: how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That blood of Jesus cleanses us, purifies us. And how precious that we can remember that together. We can identify with that together. That we are cleansed because of his blood. That's what he came to do. That's what he came to do. And we're also encouraged to feed on him. Feed on him. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. He is to be our energy, what sustains us. There's that living again, that living. He's the living bread. He's not the stale bread. He's the living bread. He's the living bread. And funnily enough, this week, Ben and I were going out for, we'd planned to go out and just have a catch up and have a coffee. And he was in an elders meeting, which was due to finish around about 11:30, so he said. And we were then just going to catch up, but I think it was 12:30 in the end by the time Ben came out. So we can talk, yeah, I know. So it was 12:30. Now, by this point, I'm hungry. It's 12:30, and we're supposed to go out for coffee. Now, I want to eat. I'm hungry. And it was really interesting because Ben came out, and he said, oh, I'm not really hungry. He was really energized by just the meeting he'd been in and the things that they were talking about. And we were joking, weren't we? Because he was saying to me, I have food you know nothing about, Andrea. This is what he was saying. And actually, we were laughing. But, you know, it's true. It's true. If we're feeding on Jesus, if we are receiving from him, then we should be energized, shouldn't we? He should be giving us that energy that we need. This passage from John 4 is from the woman at the well. And I kind of can imagine that, you know, the disciples come back, they want to know what's going on. I just kind of get the energy from this passage. I bet Jesus is just so excited about the conversation he's just had. He'd gone there for a specific purpose to meet with this woman, transform her life. Loads of other people come to him. There's an energy around it. I have food you know nothing about. It's to do the will of God, and I'm sure he's excited and he's encouraged. And that's how it should be for us, isn't it? That's how it should be for us. But what I found interesting when I reread this passage was that it goes on to talk about the harvest. Jesus has just met with somebody. He's impacted their life. And then he says to the disciples, look around you. There's a harvest here. There's a harvest here. Don't get caught up with the unnecessaries. There's a harvest here. And I think for us, you know, we need to be drawing into that living water, that living bread. Because, guys, there's a harvest here. There's a harvest. There's people that need to hear the truth. There's people that need to know Jesus. And for so many of them, the only way they're going to do that is through us. For many of them, they won't read the Gospel of Matthew or Mark or Luke or John. They'll read the Gospel of Andrea. They'll look at my life. And they'll want that living water that I have if that's what's flowing in my life. So I know I'm covered a lot and rattled through this morning. Forgive me if that's gone a bit too quick. But I found it really interesting just how a wilting flower, God spoke so much to me through looking at this wilting flower. So this morning, I want to give us an opportunity to respond. We've got 15, 20 minutes left. And around the room, there are different things which kind of symbolize